You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in John's Gospel. John's Gospel. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be here tonight. Appreciate each one of you that have come out to be in the services, especially you preachers and pastors. We thank you for your kindness in making a joint effort out of this camp meeting. Appreciate the singing tonight. We have been since Monday night. Maybe some of you have not been here. Maybe to bring you up a little bit up to date. We've been looking at some life lessons from the Lord. All the lessons that our Lord teaches are life lessons. You'll never have one of His lessons and be able to say, man, I took that course. I didn't do well in it. I got a D plus, but I'm glad it's behind me. It's over with. No. All of His lessons in His school are life lessons. Only way you can get out of His school is to die. It's the only way to promotion. And so His lessons are never over. They just keep being taught over and over every day. We've looked at a couple of them already. We looked at trusting in God. That's a life lesson. Boy, I tell you, preacher, I got saved years ago. I trusted in the Lord. I'm glad that's behind me. I didn't do it real well, but I'm glad it's over with. Oh, hon, you don't know A yet. It's just begun. Every day He'll ask you to trust Him more. He'll always be wanting you to place all your weight upon Him. And then last evening, we preached on hearing from God. Making sure God is talking to you. Preacher, don't you think God talks to everybody? Absolutely not. I do not believe that God talks to everybody. He only talks to His people. You say, preacher, He's never talked to me. He only talks to His people. You be the judge of that. Hearing from God. Tonight, I'd like to look at another life lesson. I'd like to look at the life lesson tonight of giving unto God. Giving unto God. Of course, when a Baptist preacher mentions giving, we immediately think he wants my money. In our day, when we think of giving, we think of giving God our tithes and our talents and our time, the three T's. In the New Testament church days in the book of Acts, there was none of that time and tithes and talents. There was none of that. Their idea of giving was to place them wholesale in the offering plate. To give God themselves. What in the world would God want your tithe for? He says He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. What would He need your money for? Why would He need your time for? I hear tell He is time. Talent, He's the one that give you yours. Why would He want yours back tonight? Oh no. He wants your entire person tonight. I'd like to look at one area tonight of giving tonight in a life lesson. I believe it's probably the hardest lesson to learn, the area of giving tonight. And it is the area of giving gratitude. Telling God thanks. John's Gospel, chapter number 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Gratitude tonight. Oxford's English Dictionary defines it as appreciation for what he has done for you. The state of being grateful, thankful, showing adoration publicly for favors received. What in the world, this old Gail here, she would be considered in the world's frame as being crazy. Wiping his feet with her hair. What in the world is she doing? Oh, she's just saying, thank you. I was wondering tonight, when you show your gratefulness to the Lord, your gratitude, does it look somewhat like hers, or does it look somewhat like this? Because nobody in the Bible ever was grateful and it looked like that. Most of the time in Bible days when someone was publicly grateful, most everybody else thought they were foolish in what they were doing. I'm talking about being grateful for what he has done. I thought it was interesting. You may not agree with me. It's no problem if you want to be wrong, but some people think that there are two different stories of two different ladies anointing the feet of Jesus, pouring oil upon his head. I do not believe that myself. I believe that they are one story. And I believe that the Lord liked the way she said, thank you. Because this little story appears in all four Gospels. It is in Matthew 26, it is in Mark 14, it is in Luke 7, and it is here in John 12. Time out. Hold on. Why is it in all four Gospels? Because Jesus said, if you are a preacher of the gospel, at some time during your ministry, he said, I would appreciate it if you would mention Mary. I like the way she says, thank you. I was wondering tonight, has he ever seen you say thank you and say, man, I like that. You watch them down there. Watch them how they do it. I just love that. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about being grateful, giving thanks. As we begin to unpack this text, I would notice the purpose of this gratitude. There is an earthly purpose. Matthew 26 tells us in this story that they are at the house of Simon the leper. You say, what's the big deal about that? Oh, it's a big deal. Matthew tells us that she anointed his head with oil. John tells us that she anointed his feet with oil. John chapter 12 in verse number 4, notice what this verse says. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, whose son? Gracious, this whole thing took place at Judas's house. The house he was born and raised in. What is the benefit of living in the offering plate, giving God everything that you got, especially giving Him your appreciation? You might experience what Jesus is experiencing right here. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup doth run over. I like to get in the midst of those that hate my guts, like to cut them out and put them on a platter, and God just spread a picnic table right in the middle of them and anoint my head with oil, and I just get happy in His presence. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm talking about an earthly purpose. But I see in the text there is an excellent purpose. It says in chapter 12 and verse number 7, some of them don't like it. They think she's crazy. I was wondering if any of y'all thought this little lady here a minute ago was sort of crazy. I don't like that emotionalism. I had a preacher in my hometown when I pastored. He told me, he said, if a preacher's worth his salt, he'll squelch that kind of stuff. I told him if he was worth a grain of salt, he would encourage that type stuff. If you're here tonight and you were a pastor, you ought to have been jumping with her. Hello. Hallelujah. Excellent purpose. They thought she was crazy. Jesus said in verse 7, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. An excellent purpose. I was interested in that little phrase, against the day. In the place of or beyond the time, this old gal has come with a memorial embalming. She is not looking to His death. She's looking to His resurrection. You say, preacher, what makes you think she's not looking to His death? She was in the garden down there when they told Martha, he that believeth in me shall never die. She knows He's the resurrection and the life. She knows ain't no grave going to ever hold Him. She's not looking to His death. She's looking beyond that. There's a bunch of women come. After he died, they got all their little spices together. We're going to go out there to the tomb. We're going to anoint his body out there. Hey, too late. He's gone. She has done what she could, and she did it now. Some of you sitting right here, you say, boy, one of these days I'm going to shout. This would be a good day to try it out. I tell you one, hey, bud, preacher, I'm going to get happy in God's presence. I'm just going to tell Him thanks. This would be a good day to do it. I tell you, when I get to heaven, I hope He puts duct tape on your mouth. I hope He ties your hands up for 1,000,000 years. Won't let you grunt. Won't even let you say thank you. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about there's an excellent purpose. I notice there's an eternal purpose. I was thinking, John chapter 12 in verses 1, 2, and 3, everything that's being done in those three verses, we shall do it in heaven. All three of them. Watch it. Don't take my word for it. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 12, verse number 2, there made Him a supper, and Martha served. Revelation 7. Says that we shall serve Him day and night. We're not going over there to sit on the banks of the river and fish. Oh, gracious, no. Who in the world would want to do that forever? We're going to serve Him day and night. What else is here? It says in verse number 2, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Paul tells us himself that he's already made us to sit, present tense, in heavenly places. I believe that by faith. I believe that I'm already in heaven. One day I'll have to tell me to get up so I can sit down. But one day it'll be a blessed reality. Not only will I be serving Him, I will be able to sit in His presence. And then there's Mary. What's she doing? She's scrooching up. She's trying to get as close as she possibly can. That's exactly the three things we're going to do for all eternity. We're going to serve Him forever and ever. We're going to sit in His presence. And you better get out of my way. I'm going to try to scrooch up as close as I can to Him. I'm trying to get as close as I can. And I want to try my best to tell Him, thank you for what you've done for me. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the purpose of this gratitude. She did what she could. She did it now. I'm telling you, does your public gratitude resemble hers or does it resemble yours? Because there ain't nobody in the Bible ever did it like that. It must just be a 2018 way. Look at me, preacher. I am so thankful. Can't you see it? He said he liked hers. Not only do we see the purpose of this gratitude, but we see the procedure of this gratitude. In Mark 14, Mark tells us that this procedure involves an alabaster box. Mary took it and broke it. The little word broke that Mark uses means to crush completely, beyond resemblance. Gratitude will only come when you have been totally broken in God's presence. He has smashed you. To lose yourself, your pride, your dignity in His presence. Mark tells us that this alabaster box was very precious. It was great value. It was priceless. John himself tells us here in verse number 3 that it was very costly. Approximately 300 pence was crushed beyond resemblance. Oh, this alabaster box reminds me so much of my Savior on the cross. He was crushed beyond resemblance. Isaiah said that His face didn't even look like the face of a human. It was so crushed. When you think about that, what He did on the cross, would it be asking too much of you tonight to lift a hand of praise to that? Especially when the songwriter said, "Oh, for a thousand hands to raise." Would it be too much for your tongue to say, "Hallelujah"? Would it be too much for your tongue to say glory when the songwriter said, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to give my Redeemer praise"? Or are you happy tonight doing your little gratitude act? Some of you are doing it well tonight. I'm telling you tonight, you can continue to do it, but He's not drawn towards it. It's not being memorialized. It's not making an impression upon Him. I'm telling you, He would have moved hell, heaven, and earth for Mary. He was so moved. What in the world is a crazy woman doing? She's just saying thank you. That's all she's doing. She's just giving Him a thank you tonight. It involved an alabaster box. I noticed not only this procedure involved an alabaster box, it involved an abundant bestowment. It was very costly the scripture tells us. Verse number 5 said it could have been sold for 300 pence. That was approximately a year's wages. A year's wages. Hey, I was wondering, when is the last time? I know for you, I know most of y'all are angelic and just such strong saints. When was the last time you wrote a check at church for what you would make in a year and throw it in the offering plate on Sunday? Hello, this crazy woman has given him a year. What in the world is she doing? Well, she's just saying thank you. Are you listening to me? Some have said that this is probably what she had saved for her wedding night. Ruh-roh. Man, the price just went up tremendously because now we're going to place sentimental value on it. Oh, gracious, you can't put a price tag on sentiment. This old gal's not only given him a year's wages, she has given him the sentiment of her heart. What in the world is she doing? Oh, she's just saying thank you. Does yours resemble hers? Only thing I'm asking you, I'm talking about the abundant bestowment. I thought it was interesting that she offered here in this text a pound of ointment of spikenard. Verse number 3 tells us. It cost a year's wages. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I never saw this. I have preached through John. I have read through John. But it was only about 3 weeks ago that I saw this. I never saw it in my life. Maybe you have. Praise God if you have. I never have seen it. She offered the Lord a pound of spikenard, cost her a year's wages, and it was for one reason. Just to tell Him, thank you. You got your Bibles? Turn in your Bibles a few pages to your right to John's Gospel, chapter number 19, verse number 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which is the first, came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys about. How much did theirs weigh? Gracious, these two nuts have brought 100 pounds out there. She only offered 1 pound. It cost her a year's wages. These two nuts have come out there with 100 pounds of spikenard. Can you imagine what it smells like in that cave with 100 pounds of perfume and spikenard? What are these two nuts doing? They're just telling him, thank you. And he can't do nothing for them because he's dead. They're just saying thank you for dying. I wonder if you would still get happy in the Lord tonight if He never done another thing for you, never answered another prayer for you. He was a million miles away from you. Would you still be happy? These two guys, 100 pounds of perfume spikenard. Can you imagine the aroma coming out of that grave? I love the hound out of it, don't you? I'm talking about an abundant bestowment. Maybe the death of her brother has showed her the value of the eternal over the temporal. Could I warn us tonight, please, please, heed this warning. Don't make light of anybody's worship. You don't know what they paid to get it. Are you listening to me? Huh? Oh, you see people shout. They run all over the place. They act the fool as according to the world. Say, I don't like that emotionalism. It makes me feel uneasy. Be careful, be careful, be careful. You don't know what they paid to get that shout. You probably would not be worth paying it. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about an abundant bestowment. I'm talking about an alabaster box. Could I mention this procedure? Not only an alabaster box, an abundant bestowment, but an affectionate beauty. Matthew said that she came behind him and poured the oil on his head. What in the world's a crazy woman back there for? She has no ability. She feels like he's too holy for her to look at. She's come from the rear behind him. Those eyes are too piercing for her to ever face him up. He's not the big daddy in the sky. She believes this is God Almighty. She's pouring oil upon his head. But the text tells us this affectionate beauty. It says that she anoints his feet. Luke said that she kissed them affectionately or earnestly. She smothered his feet with kisses. Please forgive me for this. I am not into feet. I do not have any foot fetishes. I have never seen any feet and said, boy, that's some good looking feet. I might, if forced, I might get into washing one foot. But smothering them in kisses, no, 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 no. What is she doing? She's saying, thank you. Are you listening to me? Does your gratitude resemble hers? I'm telling you tonight, we can run over a dog or a deer in the road and cry for a week. Run over a stupid squirrel and cry like a baby. And come over here to the Baptist camp meeting and think about Jesus dying on the cross. You listen to me. Hear some old George Jones song. See some old silly movie. Ooh. Are you listening to me tonight? I love what old B.B. Caldwell said. Old B.B. Caldwell said he wasn't a shouter. Said he was a crier. Said if God got on him, he cried. He just couldn't control himself. He would cry until the front of his shirt was wet. He said, but my mama was a shouter. He said he remembered oftentimes his mama cooking supper in the kitchen. Kids would be in other places in the house. And he says, I would hear the back screen door when it flew open. He said she would make about 6 or 7 laps around the house. He said she's hollering, screaming at the top of her lungs. He said she'd shout every bobby pin out of her hair. He said she'd finally, after she'd run out of gas out there running around the house, hollering and whooping, he said she'd finally come back in the house and start back to cooking supper. And he said invariably, she would always tell us kids, she said, y'all please forgive me. She said, I just got a bad case and I couldn't help it. I was wondering tonight, when is the last time you ever got a bad case that couldn't help us? Huh? That sister in the choir tonight, she made me think she couldn't help herself. Huh? She's going to do it. She didn't care if you liked it or not. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we lose some of our dignity tonight?
That's what this old girl's doing. What in the world is this crazy girl doing? Oh, she's just saying thank you. And our Lord liked it. He was drawn to it tonight. Oh, this world tonight sadly looks on at foolishness. I notice not only the purpose and the procedure, but I notice last of all tonight the praise of this gratitude. Chapter 12 and verse number 5. There's a question asked, why was not this ointment sold 300 pence and given to the poor? Matthew and Mark and Luke said that this voice here that's speaking made the statement, why this waste? That's the word this voice used. The little word waste. Damnable loss of a fool. Damnable loss of a fool. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not tell us who the voice is. John, he ain't so sweet. John tells us who the voice is. The voice is Judas Iscariot. He said, why this damnable loss of a fool? Tells us in chapter 12 that this he said in verse 6, that he cared not for the poor, but because he was a thief, had the bag and bare what was put therein. He didn't care about the worship or the thanks. All he cared about was himself. Could I warn you one more time? Be careful, be careful, be careful in making light of someone else's worship. Judas makes light of this old Gale's worship. And it will only be a few hours before he commits suicide. I'm telling you. You can sit there in your pious old way. Well, I don't like that emotionalism. It's just emotionalism. That's old Pentecostal charismatic mess. I don't like it. You can if you want to. It's what Judas did. He said, I don't like that mess. I'm telling you tonight, it's very dangerous. You don't know what they had to pay to get it. Are you listening to me tonight? I say myself tonight, it's just what I say. Let some of it fall on me. Huh? I'm talking about the praise of this gratitude. It involved the waste of a fool. But I notice in chapter 12 that it involved the work of filling. A work of filling. She pours this ointment upon his feet. And the Bible says in verse 3, and the house was filled, crammed full with the odor of the ointment. Sometimes at home, we have golden pantries where y'all have Circle K's and stuff like that. We have golden pantries. And sometimes I'll go in there to pay for my gas because it wouldn't take it or wouldn't give you a receipt at the pump. And I'll go in there. I'm only in there about 10 seconds. I'll come back out and she'll tell me, she said, you smell like fried chicken and cigarette smoke. I ain't been in there but 10 seconds. Can you imagine what these boys smell like after being in that house? I can only imagine what Joseph and Nicodemus smelled like after handling 100 pounds of it. Can you imagine Peter and James and John after they leave Simon's house? Maybe their smell. What in the world's that smell on us? I can hear old Peter says, oh, that's Mary's worship. She done got so close to him. Jesus done got on her. She done got on Jesus. And it's done got on other people. Huh? I was thinking, it's nowhere in the Bible. It's just in my crazy head. I was wondering about them old boys reaching up there, getting a handful of his beard and ripping it out. I wonder if one of them old boys said, what in the world?
What in the world's that smell on him? Smells like a lily of a valley. I can see old Peter there at the trial lifting up his head. He says, that's Mary's worship on him. Maybe them old boys beating his back with that scourge and opening his back up. And maybe one of those old whippers said, what? That smells like a rose in here. I can see old John sticking his head out the corner. He said, that's not a rose. He said, that's Mary's worship on him.
Are you listening to me? I was thinking about, my wife taught kindergarten for 19 years. And she taught K-5 for 19 years. And little old Gail, she's grown now. She's got kids of her own. She's a school teacher herself. She knowed I was telling this story tonight. She'd probably have a heart attack. But one day they came back from lunch, and my wife spied out of the corner of her eye. She saw this little girl smelling her fingers. You see a five-year-old smelling their fingers, you don't know where their hands have been. And my wife, I think, did what most of us would do. She looked at her and she said, would you like to go wash your hands? I love what she told her. She said, oh, no, ma'am. She said, this morning when we went out to the playground, she says, I held your hand. And she said, I can still smell you on my hands. Wouldn't it be good tonight if we get so close to Jesus, we'd scrooge up close to Him and give Him gratitude, give Him praise, and He'd leave His aroma on us. And by nightfall, when we roll over that last time in the bed and tell Him that we love Him and we tell Him good night, we'd smell the good aroma of God, of presence upon the bed, and we just have to lift our hands and give Him praise for the day.
Praise of gratitude involves a work of feeling, a waste of fools, but last of all, it involves the wiping of feet. The Bible says that, verse 3, that she wiped his feet with her hair. Now you know that this old gal and the length of her hair would make a Church of God or a Pentecostal get down. You know good and well this old gal's got hair clear down to the floor. And she flips that hair over and she uses it as a towel to dry his feet.
Now, where's that crazy woman doing?
She's saying, thank you.
Well, what in the world she got to do? It just seems so, that seems so sensual, her touching him with her hair.
Seems like to me I read in Paul's writings that a woman's hair is her glory. This old gal's telling him, I don't want to be memorialized. I don't want no credit. I don't want no glory. I don't want you to give me my 300 pence back. She said, I just want to tell you thank you. Strange and mysterious people in the Bible did it. Old Job did it from an ash heap. Didn't have any animals left to sacrifice. He had been sacrificing them. Thought his sons might have cussed God down there at that party. But now God's took all of his animals. He's out there in the ash heap scraping the pus out of his sword. What in the world's the crazy nut doing out there in the ash heap? He's telling God, God, I ain't got nothing else to give you. Only thing I know to do is give you myself and just tell you thank you. Huh? Old David, he danced in the street. His wife thought he's crazy. She was looking out the window at him dancing down in our street. She says, playing a fool. Oh, it cost her. She never did have no children. God left her barren for making light
of David's worship. Old Solomon, he put his face to the ground and worshiped the Lord. Said the glory of God fell so thick that they couldn't see their way out of there. What in the world are they doing? They're just telling God, thank you. Old Peter, he crawled over in a ship and got at his feet. What in the world is he down at his feet in a fishing boat for? I just want to tell him, thank you. Are you listening to me? The old lady crawling on all fours through the crowd. She just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. She just wanted to be made whole. She just wanted to thank him for all that he had done. The old Syrophoenician woman, she asked him to give her something to eat. He said, we can't give no bread to the dogs, Gentile dogs. She said, Lord, she says, I'm just a little old poochie dog. She said, would you purposefully just rake a few of the crumbs off of them? Let them fall on the floor. She said, I'll get me a doggy bag and take them to the house. What in the world's a crazy woman doing down there acting like a dog for? She's just trying to tell him thank you for what he's done. I was thinking tonight, old Isaac Watts said it well in his old song in the 1700s. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but lost, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands what? Hey, Isaac, what does it demand, Christ dying for me? Oh, Isaac Watts said, it demands my soul, my life, my all. Where are you at tonight in your public display of gratitude? If you are behind in showing him gratitude tonight, there is an altar here. You could get caught up if you like. That's the message, preacher.